Our scripture reading comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And the Bible's in the back of the pew in front of you. It can be found on page 1130. That's Philippians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And according to Vincent Fitch, it's in the New Testament. He told me that. I appreciated that. It's on page 1130. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness, which is in the law, blameless.
Good evening. It is good to see you tonight. We are glad that you are here. The topic before us on the screen is getting better. We want to talk about that tonight and actually share with you a five-step plan on how to do that, how to get better. And we'll say more about that as we go forward. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3 says some very encouraging things as he looks back in his life, but those things come after that and he moves forward in the chapter, and that's where we'll spend our time this evening. Before I get to that, I sound and will sound like a teacher who's lost his or her ruler and a carpenter who's lost their tape measurer. I'm a preacher who's lost a Bible. If anyone has seen this Bible, it is black outside. It is a wide margin Cambridge Bible. Has my name in it. I'm going to refrain from crying, but I'd like to have that Bible back. If you know anybody, there's not a reward yet, but if this lingers, and we may have to move to that. I left it somewhere. I thought it was here in the building. I've looked. I've asked family members that I put it in their car accidentally. I have not. I'll look again at home under the seat and rip apart the car. But if you stumble across it, please. Need my Bible, man. Need my Bible. So we're reading from the ESV tonight, not the King James. And so it'll sound a little different than maybe what you may have in front of you if you have the King James or New King. But what we'll talk about tonight is getting better. I assume you want to do that as we go forward into the next year. Lord's will, we see it. Is that a fair assumption? We all want to get better. And so I share in that, and I want to get better as well. And of course, the best human who's ever lived would be Jesus. So if we're going to get better, he would be the example. We do not have, as the Hebrew writer said, a high priest, hello Sister Betty, it's good to see you, who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in every respect, King James will say every point, tempted as we are, yet without sin. Our Lord and Savior, we spoke this morning about his being divine. Well, he was human. He was absolutely human. He knows what it means to be a human being. Peter says, for to this end were we called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was any deceit found in his mouth. If there is the best human being, Jesus Christ would be that. The Old Testament says, among other things, that he is coming to teach us of his ways, Isaiah 2, 2 and 3. And the Lord's invitation is to invite us to come to him to learn of him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle, lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light then. When we come to Jesus, we're coming to learn of him. Let me say this then very quickly. Though he came to teach us, there are things that he didn't come to teach. The idea of being a better Christian, that's not really what we're talking about when we say we want to be better. For the gospel only makes Christians. There is no improvement on the product that it makes. You obey the gospel, you become a Christian. Now, you can grow, but you will grow as a Christian. You won't grow into something else. You won't be better something else. You will simply grow as a Christian. You can do that. But you're not going to be better Christian. That's not really the way that works. I understand how we use that phraseology, and maybe that's all we mean. I want to grow as a Christian. Maybe that's all we mean. But I hear people say, I'm going to be a better Christian. Well, that's not really what he came to. You can't really improve on what God made. You're born again. You're a new creation. You're absolutely, at that moment in time, everything God wants a saved person to be. Though you can grow up and learn more. The epistles teach us how to live as Christians. But in the end, all we are and all we will ever be, it's Christians. And that's a wonderful thing to be. We can, though, get better. And I think what we mean by that is, and we'll talk about how to do that. But as a congregation, we've talked about improving. We can be better. We can. We can have better fellowship. We can get better at serving one another and knowing each other and loving each other and walking closer to God. I understand that we can improve in these areas. And that mission that we have at the bottom, we need to keep that before us, for that is what we're trying to accomplish here in this place. Somebody is new to Avondale. What do y'all do here? That's what we're doing. We are trying to learn God, love one another, and light the world. And may that never steer too far from our hearts and minds. As a congregation, that's the goal. Of course, it's reasonable to say we want to be better at that. And then you turn individually. I understand, like you, I want to get better. I want to be better at what I am. I have a list. It's the next slide. I've written down some things I want to be better presently than I am, at least in the future, than what I am presently. Better in some areas in which I now serve. Want to be better. Maybe you can write down your own list. Here are some goals I have. Here's some things I want to be better in. I'll share with you mine. You don't have to share with me yours. At least not tonight, because you didn't know this was coming. But here's what I want to be better in. 2016, I want to be a better husband. Nobody has the obligation to be a husband to Sister Owens but one man on planet Earth. And that man can get better at it. I want to do that. I want to be a better father. Blessed with three beautiful daughters. Love them to death. I want to be a better father to them, though. I'm certain I can improve. There's got to be ways I can do better. But I want to be a better elder. I want to serve the Lord in this congregation better than I did this previous year. And I know that I can, by the grace of God and his mercy, can do a better job at being an elder, can have more learning about what the role entails, can draw closer and follow the example of the chief shepherd. I'm sure we could be better. I want to be a better preacher. Stand with the privilege of standing before God's people, heralding his word week in, week out. It is a high honor. It is a privilege, but it is certainly worthy of improving. And there is no way, I believe, in any way, shape, or form, I've made it. No, sir, no, ma'am, trust me. I very well know I can get better at being a preacher, can be a better Bible student. As Paul will say in Philippians 3, brethren, I count not myself to have appertained or attained to the goal. I haven't reached it yet. Is there more learning for me? Absolutely. I have one of the sheets. I hope that you will get one as the year begins to unfold. I have one of those sheets. Read it chronologically, or Old Testament, New Testament. It is my goal this year. And sadly, sadly, I'm not always in the list of people who read the Bible through the whole year. I don't always make the grade. But I want to this year. It is my goal, 2016. By the end of this year, next year, Lord's will, say the same. And we're reading off the names of people who read the Bible all the way through in a year. I want to throw my name in the hat because I want to commit to learning the Bible. I can do a better job. I want to do better. I'm sure you have a list. I want to be a better brother to you. Brother Eric, well, he's your brother. So listen, I want to be better. There is just a wonderful opportunity before us all. I have my list, have the things, planned it, want to do better. I trust you want the same, and I'm sure you have a list. How can we do it? Last week, if you remember the sermon, we talked about really one word, one point. Do you remember what it was? Does anybody remember what the one word was last week? It was Sunday evening, I think. The sermon was so short you may have missed it. Abide, I heard it. Somebody remembered. You know, one of the things that is would kind of help one indicate that there's been improvement in preaching is if the people who heard you preach remembered what you said. Well, I know this. One way to do that is to not overflood them with 10,000 bits of information. So this evening, I don't have one point, sorry about that, but I got five. Five ways that we can get better. Five things we can do to get better. At the end of which, it'll all be one word that hopefully you can remember thereby. The Apostle Paul talks about these things, or at least I drew what he says here. I drew the points out of what I read in Philippians. You have your Bible. They come from Philippians. Right after Paul talked about those things in his past, he turned his attention to his life in Christ. How can one get better? How can you get better? How can I get better? Well, the first word is acknowledgement. In order to get better, you must acknowledge the need for improvement. There must be the realization that indeed I need to get better. That where I presently am is not where I want to end up. I want to move from this spot. Verse number 7 of chapter 3 in Philippians, the Apostle Paul says this, "But whatever was gain I had, or whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord for his sake. I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith." Now, let me pause long enough here to say contextually, the Apostle Paul is not talking about self-improvement per se. What he is describing is his past in Judaism contrasted with his present in Christ. And he says, here, I had cause, I thought, I had acquired much, I had gained a lot. I thought I was on the fast track to something good in Judaism. In another place, he will say he was excelling his peers in Judaism. But when he came to the knowledge of Christ, when the Lord appeared to him on the road to Damascus, when God revealed himself and his son to Paul, Paul says, I knew then this is what I needed. And I counted all of that as refuse. What I thought I had, I no longer wanted. What I came to know, that was not worth that much. So contextually, that's the overall context of which Paul is speaking. What I'm saying is, this is at least part of the acknowledgement is, this is better. Again, that's not self-improvement per se as we're using the concept, but Christ is better. And so if I'm going to get better, I need to acknowledge, first of all, there is a need. He's going to say again, brethren, I'm not there yet. There's an acknowledgement, an understanding of it. And if you want to get better, you're having the same experience. You're acknowledging, you're saying, okay, there's room for improvement here. How can I do it? Point number one, acknowledge. Point number two, desire. And you can acknowledge things all day long. Acknowledging the need to get better is great, but acknowledgement alone won't accomplish it. You've talked to people and they've said to you, yeah, I know. I know. I need to get better at that. You're right. And no matter what it is, they are simply saying, you've told me before and I agree with you. In other words, I've acknowledged it. But what you want from them is for them to have the desire to fix it. And up to this point, if you're still having that conversation, guess what's not happened? While they acknowledge it, they have not desired to fix it. If you and I are going to get better, we must acknowledge the need, yes, but then we must have the desire to actually change it. Notice verse 10 and 11. Paul says that I may know him, speaking of our Lord, and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul has a strong desire to have a different life, to have Jesus. That's the goal, and that's his desire. And so you have this acknowledgement. I want to get better. I need to get better. I have, if I'm anything like you, I've acknowledged some things in my life that need fixing. And the last time I walked past the treadmill, it screamed at me, are you just going to keep walking by, or are you going to do something with me here? Or are you just going to keep throwing clothes on me? Well, I acknowledge I need to get on that thing. I see it there. I need to do something about it. But the desire has not met the acknowledgement. Well, acknowledgement is great, so too desire, but that brings us to the third point. The third point is this. There must be an action point. Acknowledgement plus desire equals again. Well, it doesn't equal a whole lot. I want to get better. Have you ever heard somebody say that? We've moved from the acknowledgement to I need to get better and to people actually saying I want to get better. Has anybody ever said that? I want to get better. But have you done anything about it? Well, if you again, the acknowledgement plus the desire, great. But without action. I know people. I've said it myself. Man, I want to do that. You probably didn't know this, I'll tell you, and sometimes telling people stuff out loud kind of moves you forward. I want to go back to school. I want to. I've acknowledged that. I need to learn some more. I've got a desire to do it. I like learning. I want to go back to school. You know, up to this point, I'm not in school yet. Because acknowledgement plus desire still doesn't get it done. It doesn't make you better. Not yet. You need an action point. Notice verse 12, beginning down to verse 14. Not that I have already obtained, and you haven't when you reach this point. You haven't attained yet, but you want to. Paul says, not that I have already attained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul says this is in order that I may gain Christ. I have something I want to accomplish. I have something in mind. I have a point that I would like to reach. I have a goal in mind. You have to have goals. You have to have a way, something I'm trying to get to. I acknowledge it. I desire it. I even know where I want to be. I want to do X. I want to save this much money. I want to lose this much weight. I want to have a better relationship. I want this. I want that. I acknowledge it. I desire it. I've written down the plan. Great, great, great. But we're not better yet. There is a fourth thing we need to do, and that is we actually need to do. We need to perform. Acknowledgement plus desire and a great action plan. I've got some great plans that I'm working on. Great plans without performance won't make us better. There are a lot of people who reach these first three parts. They acknowledge it. They desire it to be different. They've even sat down long enough to write a plan to make it so. But if they never perform, if they never do, and friends, the greatest plans in the world are absolutely useless on the piece of paper on which they're written. At some point, the action must be there. At some point, we have to perform. Paul says the same. Notice verses 14 and 15. I press on toward the goal. For the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Notice what he says in chapter 4 and verse number 9. That he was doing his thing, that he was putting it into practice, is evident by what he writes to the saints there. He says, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. King James says, do. ESV says, practice these things. And the God of peace will be with you. Paul is not simply talking about it. He is doing it sufficiently to be witnessed by others. He is doing it sufficiently for others, for him to say to them, follow me. Do what I have done. If you want to get better, if I want to get better, got to, we must acknowledge it, desire it, write down some great plans. Not a lot of people like the word resolution. Okay, don't make any resolutions. Write down some goals. Write down some plans. Write down how you're going to get from where you are to where you want to be. But at some point, you have to do the plan. I was out with Sammy Walker many, many, many years ago. We were walking and talking, and I said to Sammy, how's retirement, man? How's that going? How'd you get from here to where you are, man? How did you do it? And I remember he said to me, I planned the work and then I worked the plan. I knew I was talking to a wise man then. I said, that's good, man. That's how you do that. That's how it gets done. You plan it and then you work the plan you wrote to get better. The Apostle Paul says he did just that. Our final word then is this, final phrase I should say. After you've done it, take account of the progress. Inspect what has been done. Examine how it went. Did indeed it get better? Take an inventory. Look at it. You've done it now. Give yourself 3 months, 6 months, 9 months. Come back and examine the work. Take account of the progress. Assess the plan and its success. Philippians 4, beginning with verse number 11. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. I know how to be brought low and I know how to abound. And in any circumstance and hunger, he says, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger and abundance and need. I can do all things through Christ or through him who strengthens me. He says in 2 Timothy 1:12, I know whom I believed in and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Brethren, I am ready to be offered up. I'm being poured out as a drink offering. My time is up. And as I look back over it, Paul says, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. He planned the work and then he worked the plan. And when he looked back over it all, he said, brethren, mission accomplished. Man has gone from being Saul of Tarsus to the Apostle Paul. From persecutor to persecuted. From trying to destroy the Christ to being willing to die for the cause of Christ. It's gotten better. Friends, you and I can get better. What a wonderful opportunity we have. I trust already you've looked over your life. You've surveyed some things. You've thought about it. Another year is rolling around and don't they seem to come quicker and quicker and quicker? And every year we're tired. We grow weary of saying the same thing and then doing the same thing. We appreciate we're going to have to do something different. Well, we are if we want different results. I said at the end there'll be one word. In order to get better, there it is. Adapt. You acknowledge it. You desire it. You have an action point. Write down where you want to be. How you're going to get there. And then you perform it. And then take account of it. The word adapt means to fit, change, or modify. To suit a new or different purpose. You want to be better? 2016 fast approaches. You want to be better. I want to be better. You got the areas in which you want to be better. Can you remember one word? Adapt. Can we get better? Absolutely, by the grace of God, we can. We can do it as a congregation. We can do it as individuals. You're a Christian this evening? If not, become a Christian. No more, no less. Obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and let him save you. Give your life to him. He gave his life for you. Believe that he is the Son of God and repent of your sins. Confess his name and be immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins and let Jesus save you. Friends, you have no greater need in your life and you have no greater Savior than our Lord who desires to have you part of his family. You want to get better? Well, you can certainly start by becoming a Christian. Nothing more, nothing less. But if you are his child, we are part and privileged to be a part of a great and wonderful congregation of the Lord's people. And people who love each other and who love the Lord. And people who can draw closer to each other. And people who can serve each other. And people who can help and assist and grow together in our Lord. The sum is only as great as its parts. Individually, we can be better. And as a result of our getting better, the congregation that meets here will be better. I want to do my part. I want to be better. I trust that you want the same. May God bless us and help us by his grace and mercy to grow closer to him, to love, to learn God, love one another, and light the world. Let's get better in 2016. Subject to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.